Parenting Made Easy on 938 Live.
Welcome back to Parenting Made Easy. Today we're meeting speakers from the Healthy Baby Happy Mum Seminar, which is presented by Smart Parents, a seminar that's brought to you by Frizzo. Earlier we met Ms. Wong Hui Sin and also Dr. Pradeep Raut. Hui Sin is a dietitian and Dr. Pradeep is a consultant pediatrician and neonatologist, and they're both with Parkway East Hospital. We talked about weaning, we talked about the importance of a healthy digestive system in babies so that we can prepare them for the long road to adulthood. I'm Susan Ng. Thank you so much for staying with us. In this second half of Parenting Made Easy, we're going to talk to Cheryl Chia. Always a pleasure talking to you, Cheryl. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me back.
Now, Cheryl is a pediatric physiotherapist with the Brain Fit Studio, and Cheryl is the third speaker in the Healthy Baby Happy Mum Seminar, and she's going to spend some time talking about how to eat right for a healthy brain, a smart brain. So we not only need to feed the baby a variety of foods, but we also need to know the good foods and some of the foods that we perhaps consume too much of as adults that we should avoid giving to our babies because it's not really very healthy. So let's start right at the beginning. What would be the first piece of advice you would give to parents
regarding eating well to have a healthy and smart brain? There are a few things that are important. The earlier speakers talk about a variety of foods, and I think that's an important point and a good point, especially if you are looking at a very young baby, an infant who is weaning and getting exposed to real foods for the very first time. So the brain would be registering textures and different tastes. So it is important at that time to expose them, in particularly, I think, towards healthy options. So we know that when we talk about healthy diet, we think about eating your greens and how a lot of kids end up not liking their greens, right? So there is some suggestion that, you know, when we introduce greens to our children or weaning towards fruits and veggie, may be better to start with the veg because fruits are sweet. So once they have the sweetness, then they might not like the greens because greens are actually not so sweet. So really to go with the greens first before the other colours come in. That might be a nice advice for someone with a very young child. But one piece of advice for parents who with older kids, siblings, for example, while growing up, I think balance is still the key, right? But certainly when we think about the brain, there are a few nutrients that we think about, like the fatty acids, omega acids, that we want to make sure that our kids are having good fats and enough of that, because the brain is basically a very fatty organ. So having the good fats will make sure that all the nerve connections, it's all healthy and messages can be passed, fluently and effectively in the brain.
Breast milk. Mm-hmm. That's very important. And I know that you are a great proponent of breast milk.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a brain food too, isn't it?
Yes. So if we go back a little bit more to even before talking about weaning, you know, the first brain food, I guess that's how we're all made, isn't it? It's all natural. And the component that's in breast milk has been found to be a pretty solid brain food too. And that's because it's very rich in all the good fats. So naturally, what mummy is already producing is really nurturing that brain already through a diet of breast milk.
So when we talk about eating right to nurture a smart brain, what do you actually mean?
The chemicals in the food actually does cross what we call the blood-brain barrier. So it actually goes into the brain and influence the brain's performance, right? So that's why we kind of can think of food as being a good brain food or a bad, what sometimes we call it brain drainers. The brain boosters, which are the good brain, healthy brain food, and then there are the brain drainers that you kind of want to avoid. And some examples would be processed foods, for example, you know, versus healthy whole foods. So certainly we would think of processed foods as being in the category of brain drainer, yeah, with all the preservatives, we talk about that, and all the artificial, you know, ingredients that's inside, versus eating a fresh fruit, for example, as a snack. So because the ingredients go into the brain and impact the nervous system, you know, the connections in the brain, that's why it is important, and that's why it's possible able to influence brain function through what you eat.
That's amazing. I never thought about food that way. Right, so brain boosters and brain drainers, these are the two things that I think we need to think about when we're talking about keeping our children's brain in optimal health. And that's what we want. Eating to nurture a smart brain or a healthy brain is very important. And you want more of those brain boosters than those brain drainers. Unfortunately, the drainers are quite easily obtainable.
Absolutely.
And taste better.
You're absolutely right. So a big, readily, you know, available and very pleasurable brain drainer, I would think, for a young child, would be the sweet foods, right? Processed and also sweetened foods. Even maybe fresh foods like a donut. A lot of sugar, a lot of refined sugar, plain white flour that's all processed. And we know that there's sugar. I mean, sugar is an interesting ingredient to think about, right? Because our brain actually needs sugar for energy too, right? But I think it is important for parents to think about choosing foods with healthier, better sugar. Then, you know, and there's bad sugars as well. And I think the best way to think about it would be from the glycemic index, you know, the GI, the low GI foods that we think about when we talk about diabetes and, you know, and preventing healthy life, living and all that. So for when we think about the brain, it is quite similar. If you eat a high GI food, say a donut, for example, right? A lot of simple sugars that goes into the bloodstream immediately.
Is that what you call a sugar rush?
That's absolutely the sugar rush, right?
Okay.
So there's a huge spike of sugar that rushes into the brain. So it floods your brain literally.
Right. Then you feel good only for a short time.
Yeah. So it's pleasurable. So we kind of want to have the second donut too, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking about donuts. Yeah, now that you're talking.
So which is part of the problem because it is pleasurable.
Yes.
But of course, it influences your bloodstream it causes a rapid spike, but then it also drops very rapidly. So it is actually these spikes, you know, and crash, the sugar spikes at rush and the crashes that are quite not very nice for the brain in the effects that it causes. Because if the drop is really significant, you know, you could create irritation in the child, you could have mood issues. So some of the behavioral problems, you know, we start to complain in our children, you know, that they are not behaving well, you know, they're irritable and all that. We want to think about what kind of foods they're eating.
Right, so there are good sugars as well as bad sugars now that you mention it, right?
Yeah.
So we know, and as you're talking, I'm thinking, empty calories, that's what they tell adults,
that's right?
You feel good after one and then two, but you think about it, they're empty calories.
Yeah.
And it's not just the sugar, because a donut is fried.
Yes!
So there's oil and there's, of course, it's very high in carbohydrates and things like
that's right.
So give us an example of some good sugars that we could feed our children.
So we would be thinking about the low GI foods, so the low, you know, glycemic index foods. So they will be slower. So it basically, think of them as maybe taking a slightly longer time to digest. So the sugar is released slower and more consistently.
Oh, so like a time release.
Yes, that's right. So like brown rice versus white rice, for example.
Okay.
So brown rice will be a low GI food. So it doesn't create that spike and that crash, as an example. And oat, I think, is quite, I mean, something for the kids especially, a nice food to start in the morning. Like if you were thinking of an oatmeal versus a donut for breakfast, right? So you certainly want to choose the former rather than the latter.
So even when, perhaps breakfast is important to start our children right.
Yes, absolutely.
And I know that people like yourselves and doctors, they always, and dietitians, they always say that the breakfast, and we all know this, breakfast is important, but sometimes for lack of time, you know what, a donut is what you grab, right?
And it's easy, right?
It's easy. It's what we call the walkabout food.
Yes.
So we want to grab the right types of food to start our children off in the day. How important is it to start our kids right at the start of the day?
It is absolutely important. And I think it's true that that is probably the most important meal. And that's because your body has literally fasted for 8 to 10 hours from dinner. right? So, yes. You know, it's gone without a meal and it's been a long time. So the body is ready to receive food and you want to make sure that that first meal then is healthy, chemicals and whatever that you're going to be sending into the body. So you want to eat well for that first meal in the day. I think that's an important message for parents.
Right. And so parents also ought to eat well, I think, because I think sometimes we don't pay enough attention to ourselves and we do need to have parents look after themselves. So good sugars and bad sugars, brain boosters and brain drainers, a lot to think about when we're thinking about nurturing our children and to keep their brains in optimal health, because that's what we want. Kids have very long days in school nowadays, so feeding their brains and feeding their bodies and keeping them healthy is very important. We'll come back to talk more with my guest Cheryl Chia, who is from Brain Fit Studio on Parenting Made Easy. Stay with us.
Parenting Made Easy on 938 Live. Parenting Made Easy on 938 Live.
We've heard about brain boosters and brain drainers and also the importance of good sugars versus bad sugars and empty calories. And we do need to think about taste. We want stuff to taste good, but we also need to think about healthier options of some of the foods we may be presenting our young children with. And we heard about the importance of feeding the brain. That is important, as we all know, and Cheryl did mention, and we all know this, that breakfast is important, starting our kids on the right footing before they even step out of the house to go to school, because school days are getting longer, and kids need to use their brain cells a lot more today. Even kindergarten kids need to do that. So we need to set them right. We need to start ourselves off right too. And so Cheryl did give some good examples of the types of slow-releasing sugar type foods that we ought to think about. Rather than a donut, perhaps choose something like an oatmeal that can be made to be quite tasty. Other things that are important to keep the brain healthy for a child, what might those be?
We talked a little bit about fats earlier. So I think fat is an interesting topic because some adults think that fat's bad, right? Because, you know, it creates obesity and all the weight problems. But for a growing child, I think a fat is something that's important for them to have. And certainly there's also good fats and bad fats. You are looking at, I mean, for example, choosing milk. So for the adult, you might be thinking about the skim milk option, low-fat option. But for a young child, a full cream is probably good because, like I said, the brain is actually a very fatty organ and rapid brain development is happening in the early stages of life. So it is important that we are nourishing this organ well with the right foods. So we would recommend that the children do have a good dose of healthy fats, you know, in the diet. By fats, we also think about fish, for example. You know, fish is another very good source, some of the essential fatty acids.
That's and some fish are quite oily, right? So that's good.
Yeah, that's good. The scientific recommendation, you know, to eat for the brain would be at least 2 to 3 times of fish, you know, a week in a child's diet to make sure that they have that natural occurring fatty omega acids, you know, that the kid is important for the brains, you know, of growing children.
Yeah, so by bad fats, I'm assuming you're talking about deep fried foods.
That's correct.
This tastes good though.
Yeah, because the frying process really damages the fats, right? And so we know that the fats that have been fried, I mean, it essentially just distorts the whole process and you don't want to be consuming that really. But you're right, the taste is good though. But then again, for young children, you see, I mean, my personal feel, and I think this is true, I'm not just a feel that, the tastes are being acquired by the child. So if you are a family that loves broccoli, for example, right? You know, you can get the child to develop, or certainly the child might have preferences and all that. But if the family has a culture of eating healthy, you know, I believe it is something that can be instilled.
Yes, of course, the broccoli is a contentious vegetable.
So many people
dislike broccoli, but I know it can be made to be quite tasty if you cook it right and maybe add some cheese and bake it or something. It could for a child because he's going for the cheese, right? And then the broccoli stuck to it, so they'll end up eating it.
I think the other problem is because of the introduction of all the very sweet, very tasty foods. So then by contrast, the greens and the broccoli becomes really, you know, become like not just not nice. You know, I don't want to have that. But I think it's about managing the intake of the very nice foods, but pleasurable foods, but may not necessarily be healthy ones. So it might be worthwhile for, you know, parents parents of very young children to certainly consider managing their, you know, the stages of when they are taking in certain foods and make sure that they are exposed and have acquired certain tastes of certain foods that are healthy first.
And processed food and refined foods, that's so easily available now.
That's right.
That people, when they're trying to save time, that would be the first thing that they would reach out for.
Yeah.
And I guess for children too. But when we're talking about babies here who are, really young children who can't reach out for these foods, that's when, as you say, you've got to help them create the taste buds for the right types of food.
Yeah.
So what kinds of foods would you highly recommend?
Certainly the general recommendation would be to go fresh, you know, as much as you can. I mean, if you look at the supermarket, I think that's the processed food section is probably bigger than the fresh sections, right? And it's convenient. And, you know, in our modern lifestyle, time is so precious, isn't it? But, I mean, the reality, though, is that processing food really strip away a lot of the natural good ingredients. And what we're ending up with, together with the preservatives, might not be the most nutritious thing for the brain. Yeah, so to reach out for the fresh produce, I think should be something that parents think about.
Yes, and as you said earlier, which I think is important, that if the family is reaching out for the fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, then the children will follow suit.
That's right.
Because the whole family is at it. It's not you eat this, but we'll eat that.
That's correct.
Everyone's eating the same types of food.
Yeah.
So if you're reaching out for processed foods all the time, then I guess the kids will do the same.
Yeah.
And so for children to grow right, for them to be able to learn well, for them to be able to do well in school and to do well in life, we need to nurture the body. And you're a physiotherapist and you treat kids, and kids come to you with all different kinds of issues. But food is an important part of those issues that you're working with in the children.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, especially when you think about building the brain. So the exercises that you can do, mental exercises and workouts and all. But certainly what you're eating and what the child is eating is another component that goes into all the neural circuits that you're trying to build.
Absolutely. You will be speaking at the Healthy Baby Happy Mum seminar coming up on January the 9th. Tell us a little bit about what you will be sharing with parents at this seminar.
So we will be talking about the general principles that guide choices in food if you are thinking about eating to have a smart and healthy brain. So what are some of the considerations? So we will be touching some of the things we have talked about, like sugars, the choice, what do you choose, how do you choose, fats, how it's important to the nervous system, and vitamins and minerals, certainly, is something that is important, and you get that when you have that wide variety of natural foods as well. So it will be providing parents with general guidelines on what research has shown us that goes into the brain can have positive effects on the brain, and so how parents can make good choices with those information.
Right, so a wide variety of foods. Mm-hmm. You said that, and that was also mentioned by our dietitian and our pediatrician.
Yeah.
So this is actually very important for children, not just to, I suppose, zoom in on one type of food. We don't need to give up when they don't like a particular food, but we can try it again and again.
Yeah, that's
so a wide variety, different types of food to feed, I suppose, different parts of the body and the brain, because we do need the carbohydrates. The children do, and they need the fat as well.
Yeah.
So for the kids, that's even more important.
That's right. And when you vary, especially the fine minerals and vitamins, if you're exposing your child to different types of foods, then you kind of can ensure that they're getting that mix. And at the same time, you are building the brain's taste buds, like you say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's good to be exposing them then to the various textures and tastes, you know, so that they have a huge repertoire that they will not resist, you know, certain foods.
Absolutely. So we're not only just feeding the brain, we're feeding the body, because physical activity is very important. And if you're not eating right,
that's right,
and you're not eating enough,
mm-hmm,
then it's very hard to be able to sit down in a classroom.
Yes.
And then go out and do some physical activity, because you do want kids to move as well.
Yes, you need the energy.
Because that builds the brain too, right?
Absolutely. You need the energy to move, and then movement fills the brain. Absolutely, Susan.
Great. So if you had one thing now to say to parents of babies, of children who are beginning to eat solids, what would that be?
Like the earlier speakers, I think variety is the key, but you do have to remember your healthy fats and your healthy sugars. And I think it's also important for parents to know that your choices, and we've mentioned that, what parents are choosing for themselves is very important, because you are setting up habits, you know, that your child is seeing, and they will be eventually reaching out for the kinds of foods that you will be reaching out. So while we talk about the baby, it's good for parents to also think about themselves and to create a culture, you know, in the family to eat healthy and to eat well.
And as baby is growing, I'm thinking about movement, because you're a physiotherapist. Yeah, mm-hmm. How important is that? And is there something you want to say to parents on this?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I can go on and on about that, you know. So movement is absolutely important for the brain. So we know that when you move, there's a lot of good things happening in the brain. You're pumping blood to the brain, and then blood's good. You're pumping oxygen to the brain, and all that is nourishing the brain. But not only that, you can build some very important neural pathways through movement. Don't take away the playground time, you know, and get the children to go out to the beach, to go out to the garden, you know, on a daily basis. Make sure that they have a healthy dose of physical activities every day. That will be a good brain tip as well.
Yeah, so that's great, because you need to eat well, and then you need to keep baby moving,
that's
or keep
right.
the young ones moving, because that develops the child holistically.
That's correct.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It was a pleasure talking to you as well. And parents, if you'd like to meet Cheryl Chia, do attend the Smart Parents Seminar, Healthy Baby, Happy Mum, and you can get your tickets at smartparents.sg. That's www.smartparents.sg. And when you buy a ticket, you'll also receive a goodie bag worth $50 when you attend the seminar. The seminar is organized by Smart Parents, and the seminar is brought to you by Friso. Cheryl, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Susan.
Cheryl Chia is a pediatric physiotherapist with Brain Fit Studio and a featured speaker at the Healthy Baby, Happy Mum Seminar. For more parenting tips, you can visit smartparents.sg. And 938 Live is the official radio station of Smart Parents, a MediaCorp initiative. I'm Susan Ng for Parenting Made Easy. Thanks for staying with us this week.
Parenting Made Easy on 938 Live.